Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts for this weekend's edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. We covered a lot of the market moves, a lot of the data from this week, and a number of company updates. So please go back through those daily editorials and keep in touch with Chad and I. Let us know what you think of these markets, of our guests, as well as the companies that we chatted with this week. We are kicking off this show with Richard Postma. We're going to be focusing more big picture, as well as diving into some of the longer term charts. And then in the second half of this weekend's edition, we're going to be shifting our focus more to the energy sector. Now, as I mentioned, we're chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. And Doc, before we get into some of the charts, I just want to quickly recap the data we saw this week in terms of the job market. We saw larger jobless claims that continues to tick higher. That does show a generally weakening job market. And inflation, the PPI, really came down. It came down to kind of where the market expected, especially when you consider the revisions to the prior month. But overall, look, the job market is weakening and inflation is also coming down. So a bit of a mixed bag there for the Fed. Doc, what do you take away from this economic environment that we're in right now?
I take away that Powell couldn't be happier, frankly, and especially with initial claims unexpectedly soaring to the highest since they've seen October of 2021. And then the PPI report, he's got to be really happy with both of these, because I think coming next month, he can pause and now watch and see what happens over the next 3-4 months to see if there's a continuation of the claims going higher, which they will, in my view, the jobless claims, and with some moderation yet in the inflation picture. So the man has to be really happy with what he just saw recently.
Well, Doc, when you think about the Fed finally getting to this point where they're going to pause, which people have been looking forward to for almost a year ever since they started, what do you think the markets are pricing in at this point? Because their markets are very forward-looking. They've been anticipating this Powell pause coming for some time. But when it actually gets here, a lot of people expect there to be a boon for all markets and really all sectors. It doesn't look like that's the way things are setting up right now, with market breadth being so not so great across the markets, and even the commodities taking it on the chin recently. Well, so what is your outlook when they pause, and let's just say they leave it paused for a couple months or towards the end of the year? How do markets react to that environment?
A lot of people actually think that it's going to be good for the stock market and for other asset classes, but I don't agree. I think Powell has no problem with, by pausing, if the claims continue to accelerate, he's going to let them accelerate, because this stock market is in, you know, super shape. If you want to look at the heavy hitters, the rest of the underlying market is not so good. But I think that he doesn't care if the stock market takes more hits. I don't think there's a put like the Greenspan put on that. And so I think he's hoping that we continue to see more layoffs. And with that, slowing demand, and hopefully it'll impact his inflation numbers. So I think going forward, there's good odds that the stock market is not going to take off and seek new highs. I don't see that at all, Chad.
So, Doc, do you consider this market or investors in the market more defensive right now? It's something we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, is how these big tech names that are holding up the market are almost being looked at as a defensive play. Much like gold hanging up there, that, look, investors, while they are staying invested, they don't have a risk-on attitude. It's more risk-off, which seems weird saying that about big tech stocks, but look, they're the big boys out there, and they have cash. So is this more of a defensive market?
I think so right now. I think people are still very nervous about this market. They, I think, are if they can get interest-bearing assets that are matching inflation through preferred bonds in other areas, or actually getting them a return that's now higher than inflation, with the potential that inflation is going to move lower, I think they're, most investors are going to be very happy with that and will stay quite conservative until they see what the shakeout is going to be in the future. I know that's what I'm doing. I'm getting some good returns on what I've invested in, and I'm just going to be very picky on what stocks I'm buying. On the conventional market, I'm looking at stocks that are have PEs around 10 that I've been purchasing that are good companies, and one of them is a growth company. And every dip, like I mentioned last month, I'm buying silver and gold companies, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I'll keep my interest-bearing accounts where I'm getting a return that's better than inflation. And I'll slowly move some of that into the conventional market and into the precious metal market.
Well, Doc, just to that point, there's a lot of people that I talk to in my personal life, just anecdotally, that are in money markets that pay them 4.5%, 5%, or they're in T-bills, or they're in interest-bearing accounts. And we haven't seen that for almost a dozen years. For a long time, you got paid nothing. And you're also seeing things like the T-bills and the money markets, which are mostly in T-bills, paying a lot more than what banks do. So there's a lot of money leaving banks, you know, just sitting there collecting nothing and going into these instruments. But there's also some money coming out of the stock market and going into these yield-bearing instruments. So have people kind of taken a fundamental approach to just reduce their exposure to the markets in general and just seek the safety of yield?
Yes, and absolutely, and that's exactly what I'm doing, and so I can empathize with those people. And what really bothers me is that when you look at the Case-Shiller index, that's still up around 29 to 30 as far as the PEs, and if you look at the Case-Shiller chart, it's slowly making its way down, and I think that's going to continue over the next few weeks and months. That we're going to see a move back to the mean. And I think that's coming. And so the best place to be in this situation is in yield bearing. And we've seen a reversal in the bond market for the first time in years. And I think people are taking advantage of that because they do not want to go risk on. They're scared. And if they can get a return that matches inflation or even above it, they're going to accept that until they become much more comfortable that we're beyond the chaos that we're seeing, especially with these banks, some of the small ones and the regional banks.
So, Doc, what trend do you see happening here? Do you see more money moving out of the stock market into money market funds? Or, to your point, when the right environment is here, do you see that money that's in the money market funds going back into the broad averages, maybe after this banking crisis is behind us, and that causing a big bump to the underlying broad averages?
We're moving into an environment I think we haven't seen in years, and that's where the prudent people and the savers are finally going to make some money on their investment in safe assets. And they're not going to jump right back into this conventional market, and they're going to demand that if they do. It's going to be in value-added stocks where they have PE ratios that make some sense. And I think a lot of these other companies where the PE ratios are in the stratosphere, I think they're going to be the ones that are going to continue to get hit and continue to move lower over time. So I don't see this conventional market taking out the previous highs anytime soon in the future.
Yeah, Doc, it does seem like investors are more defensive in this environment, not just in yield-bearing instrument, but also choosing to be in dividend-paying stocks over growth in a lot of them. And we are still seeing bonds get a bid recently compared to where they were over the last 6 to 12 months. They've done a little bit better as far as people buying them as a safe haven, but also gold. Gold is holding up that around that 2,000 level, either side of it, really, for the last 6 weeks. I know that you follow the gold charts very closely and you take a longer-term approach. just focusing in on the yellow metal, what is your take on gold? How does it look? Is it going to break out to new highs, or is it just going to hang out here around 2000 and bore us all to death?
Well, that's fascinating, because I think we might get a little pressure on gold over the next few days to weeks, but that's not necessarily a negative. What I like about the long-term charts on gold right now, we had, and I mentioned that last month, we had the 12-month moving average break out over the 26-month moving average. And if we continue to be in that area, it's going to be a positive. The only negative for gold is if we break down and it reverses that 12-month, starts to move sideways to down, then we've got an issue with gold. But right now, it's in a pretty good situation. And if we stay where we are right now, we're going to actually close above the previous high back in 2020. And that's a positive. And we could, if we move up in June, we could move up for another 4 or 5 months before we get into trouble with gold. So June's going to be a very important month here for gold to see if we continue. Because if we continue in June, the odds are pretty good that we continue for a few months after that. So that's what I'm seeing in the gold market right now.
So, Doc, this ties in with something we've been talking about, as many people have been saying gold was overbought and it needed a correction. But this sideways move, it's been commented that this is just a correction in time rather than price, which is actually even healthier in terms of a bull market setup. What do you say to that comment that gold is correcting in time, not so much price right now?
I think that's a very appropriate thing to say right now. And I think that if, like I said, if we can maintain at this level and slowly move up against that upper Bollinger band on the monthly chart, that's not unusual in a bull market, because you can go back to 2009 and see the same thing happening. Sure, there were pullbacks, but it just kept moving higher, you know, every month over time. And we could be at the start of that, but that's why I'm saying that June is going to be so important for this market, for the 12-month to continue above the 26, because then that chart's looking pretty good in my view.
Well, Doc, let's also shift over to gold's scrappy little brother, silver, which has, on the day we're recording this, has sold off pretty hard. It was hovering over $26, but now silver is down in the mid-24s. It's had a big sell, but that's in sympathy with copper selling off, platinum, zinc, nickel, really all the metals selling off. Is that the industrial component of silver dragging it down with the rest of the base metals?
Shad, absolutely. And I said a while back that if I had my druthers of where I would be, it would be in gold. And I said versus silver, because when you're looking at the potential that we may have a hard landing with the figures that just came out, especially with the initial jobless claims, that tells you that commodities and silver could be under pressure here going forward. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they are. They do not look, silver does not look as strong as gold in this situation. And I would put my money on gold versus silver based on that industrial component.
Moving over to the gold stocks then, Doc, let's look at something like GDX, the gold miners ETF. It's, again, kind of flat for this month. It's down today on Thursday. But overall, what I'm seeing, at least on the monthly, even weekly charts, is GDX is nicely above some of these moving averages. The moving averages are trending higher. Even on the weekly chart, GDX was hugging that upper Bollinger band. But again, we are seeing a bit of a maybe correction in terms of time. What's your outlook for GDX? Is it bullish, neutral, or do you think there could be a bigger pullback coming?
I think we could still move a little bit up in the next few weeks, but I don't see GDX going crazy here. I said last month that we should see a stair step in a lot of these stocks, and I'll hold to that. And I said, but buy on weakness and make sure this year is the year you're starting to really buy on weakness on a lot of these stocks. And because it may take time yet, but I think we've seen the bottom in a lot of these gold and silver stocks. So it's accumulation time now. And I don't think GDX is going to take off here, unfortunately. But I think it's going to be a stair step for a lot of these stocks. And it's just going to take us time. But we will get to the point where some catalyst down the road, and I don't know what that's going to be, that these stocks really get a bid, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Well, Doc, I know you look at a lot of these stocks on the through the lens of technical analysis as well as fundamentals, but when you think about the move that a lot of these stocks have had that are in the GDX or GDXJ, a lot of the mid-tier producers, the royalty companies, some of the stocks that you follow, they've had a pretty big run since September of last year. I mean, that's 7 or 8 months ago. But a lot of investors maybe didn't capture all that move or looking at a spot to get in and buy those dips. Are there chart indicators that you'll be looking for? And I know every stock's individual, but are there, in a general sense, are there chart indicators you're looking for of where you'd be buying? Is there a moving average you're looking at? Is there something you would see as far as, you know, the ADX lines or the slow stochastics? Is there anything in particular that you use when you want to start buying stocks on the dips?
Well, what I use, and I've said this before, is the monthly Bollinger Bands. And they, a lot of these stocks have been moving up and knocking their head up on the upper, and then they move back down to the lower. So that's what I do. Now, I'll buy when they some of them get down to the lower Bollinger Band on the monthly chart, and then they move back up, and some of them I'll sell, some of them I still hold. But now I'm going to be accumulating more and more and holding more and more of these, because when they really break out of that monthly Bollinger Bands, I want to make sure I have a significant amount where I'm not left behind, where I've made some profits, but I've sold them again when they hit that upper Bollinger Band. So I keep accumulating when some of these stocks are hitting that lower Bollinger Band. I think that's the best way to play this. And it's really helped me out, because it's been up and down for the last number of months. So it's been a positive that way.
Oh, Doc, trading the ranges, that has been the strategy, or the best strategy, for a lot of sectors over this last almost 2 month period now. When it comes to individual gold stocks, are you getting sucked into any of the juniors? Because those broadly haven't moved that much. Or are you staying more to advanced explorers, developers, production companies? Where is your focus in terms of the stocks?
I like the mid-tiers, and that's where I'm focusing. And I have a nice exposure now to some of the juniors, where I've gotten them at such low prices that I'm just sitting there with them. But it's the mid-tiers now that I really like. I'm not a purchaser of a lot of the large cap companies, because when this thing really gets going, I always feel that it's the juniors and the mid-tiers that really can have some outsized gains. And that's why I like those stocks. And once again, you know, I've always mentioned I like watching what the price action on Newmont. Newmont continues to just hang in there. Today it's having a sell-off, but I think it's going to sell off again here a little bit. But I really watch that one as a potential indicator of maybe something's happening in this market and telling me that maybe we're getting ready for a big move. And as yet, Newmont isn't validating that at all. So that's one of the stocks I just keep my eyes on a lot. But a lot of these others, it's mid-tier and juniors that I'm purchasing at low prices.
Well, Doc, as far as the comments you made regarding silver, I'm guessing that extrapolates over to things like copper, nickel, zinc, all the other base metal stocks. Are you kind of avoiding those for now just because you expect there to be more economic weakness on the horizon and that'll keep pressuring those other resource sectors?
Yeah, copper especially. I've been waiting for copper to sell off. And I think copper is about ready to take out its 200-day moving average. I don't like the price action on copper right now. And if it does, I think it'll continue to sell off. So I'm staying away from some of these copper stocks right now, because I think there's potential for a sell-off in copper. So I am not right now interested in purchasing at these level copper stocks unless copper sells off more.
Okay. So, Doc, I guess broadly, strategy for summer is that we might be in for a bit of a slow summer, but you're taking that as a great opportunity to get into at least a couple gold stocks on any dips. Is that broadly your strategy now?
Yep. And when they get down and hit the lower Bollinger bands on the monthly charts, I just keep adding bit by bit. And I've been doing that with a lot of these. And now I'm becoming more of a holder. In the past, I would purchase down around the lower Bollinger bands on the monthly chart, and then I'd sell a lot of them when they moved up, and I was getting nice profits. But now, you know, this downswing in these precious metal stocks, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's still out there a little ways, but now I'm getting to the point where I'm going to be holding more and more of these and not selling when they do move up.
Well, Doc, just a wild card question. Are there any other sectors outside of the precious metals that you actually are taking a long side bid on? Just any kind of market that any other market that has your eye right now?
I'm doing a little bit of some of the semiconductors, and I'm doing some on the biotechs that have really gotten whacked. And I'm starting to slowly go into those. Those are the two that I'm starting to slowly move into. And I do am taking positions in some of those. And some of them, actually, one of the semiconductors I'm purchasing has a PE ratio of around 10. So some of these have already seen their sell-offs. So I'm willing to, and that's a growth company, I'm willing to start to purchase some of those stocks and just hang with them for a long time.
All right, Doc, we'll wrap it up here. As always, thanks for sharing your thoughts on these markets. As boring as they are, hey, look, there are still some opportunities here, and it does give people an opportunity to reshuffle their portfolio. So we'll see where the market moves. We'll also chat with you next month. And Doc, again, thank you for your time on this weekend show. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with a focus on the energy sector.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.